Vectis Radio, FM 104.6. Our broadcasters are all ages and abilities. This is what makes us your local station. VectisRadio.com.
The Visit Isle of Wight Show with James and Judith. Thinking of a trip to the island? Check out visitisleofwight.co.uk today.
It's a lovely sunny day here on the Isle of Wight. And you can hear those beautiful sounds enticing you across the Solent. But today, we've got a real special show here on the Visit Isle of Wight show because we're going to be talking about a superb event that's coming up in July. And it's to mark the centenary of the death of the Romanov royal family in Russia. And in the studio with us, we've got Carl Love, who's bravely stepping in for his partner, David Hill, who is the brains behind all of this, I believe. Carl, is that right?
That's absolutely true, yes.
Now, let's just sort of step back in time a little bit and try to do a history lesson here. And it's quite difficult because I spent all morning on Wikipedia researching all of this. We all know, of course, that the last Tsar in Russia was Nicholas II. Now, Nicholas II and his family were taken and shot almost 100 years ago. In fact, it happened in July 1918 when there was the Russian Revolution at the behest of Lenin, I believe. But a lot of people don't realise, Carl, quite what a connection there was between the Romanovs and the Isle of Wight.
Oh, it was a fantastic connection, really. In those days, the people were connected by their kings and queens of Europe.
Yeah.
And, of course, our royal family was very much into with the imperial royal family of Russia. And, of course, they were quite regular visitors to our island.
Yeah.
When David started this story, we've been on this huge roller coaster ride learning all about the history of these cows.
Yes.
And the many, many untold stories of events that occurred in these cows, which actually brought these cows into world focus.
Yes.
Because of all of these royals from all over Europe and different parts of the world. Even, people coming here from India, as we've recently seen with the Abdul and Victoria story.
Yeah, exactly.
But the Romanovs were quite significant in terms of the story they're told. And this year is, as you have said, the 100th year anniversary of their execution.
Yes.
And in the Orthodox faith, they believe that they were martyred.
Yes.
And since, obviously, the defrosting of relationships, if you like, across the world with the Russian nation, in actual fact, the faith has really come back into the communities, and so that they want to celebrate with us this wonderful occasion.
Well, let me wind back the clock in two separate places. Firstly, I should have introduced you a little bit more because, Carl, you and David have been here on Vectis Radio a number of times with us before because you won. You won one round of a competition on a program on Channel 4 called Four in a Bed because you run this extraordinarily good bed and breakfast in East Cowes called Bosun's Lodge.
That's correct.
And we've been there, and I have to say it is truly lovely, and you two are fantastic at hospitality. But at the same time as this, you have taken some more on, actually, haven't you? Because you are now not only a councillor for East Cowes, but a councillor on the Isle of Wight Council, on the County Council.
That's correct, yes. And I'm really enjoying it, but I am completely run off my feet.
I bet you are.
In East Cowes, there's everything and anything happening in East Cowes.
Yeah, well, East Cowes is an extraordinary place. It's one of the best Is it the top five places to live in the United Kingdom? It was recently voted.
It was, yes. That was back in, I think that was the back end of last year that was announced.
Yeah.
And it truly is. If you know, many people just pass straight through East Cowes as they exit or enter, and they kind of don't realise, you know, the significance of all the properties that are around us.
Yeah.
I mean, East Cowes was really the royal playground back in the 1800s and yes, early 1900s.
And of course, there are many people who come to the Isle of Wight pretty much, you know, only visit East Cowes because some people are just coming over for the day trip to see Osborne House, where of course East Cowes is the home of Osborne House. But there are other places in East Cowes of historical interest. Barton Manor,
absolutely,
obviously next door, and then Norris Castle.
That's right. I mean, these places are significant. I mean, the stories that nobody's really ever delved into in a really big way to sell the town, and that's what I'm trying to do with part of this this event that's going on.
Yes.
is that I'm trying to sell the history in order to create, you know, more income for the island,
yeah,
tourism, but also to make sure that East Cowes is recognised for the place it is.
I mean,
we've got Barton Manor,
yeah,
you know, which became the home of the royal family after they sold Osborne House.
Yes, because Edward VII didn't like Osborne House, so he much preferred Barton Manor, and that's where he entertained the Romanovs.
That's right, and it's written on the, you know, it's amazing when you drive up to the house and it's got ER written on it.
Yeah,
it's quite special. Then obviously Norris Castle, where actually Kaiser Wilhelm was a regular visitor.
Yeah, and I understand there's a special bath for him in there. Is that right?
There is. Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, obviously the house is not open to the public, but I enjoyed having a viewing recently because obviously there is some development going on at Norris Castle.
Yeah.
And I was shown around, and there is Kaiser Wilhelm's bath, a bathtub.
How extraordinary.
And it's still there in good condition.
We need to save that for posterity. Judith.
And what's so wonderful, Carl, I mean, you're doing this, and it's great for East Cowes, and it's great for the island, and it's great for islanders, but it's great for tourists and visitors as well, because this is hidden history that they don't know about, and it just brings so many historical events to life.
Yeah.
So James was doing his research this morning, and he's explained to me now the relationship between Tsar Nicholas II, who was assassinated, and Queen Victoria, and we'll come back to that in a moment. And I know when I'm on holiday, I love sort of finding out all these historical connections, and it just brings the past to life, doesn't it?
Yeah. It's incredible. I mean, I have to say, it's totally incredible, as East Cowes, because on one hand, we've got all of the historical royal connections, but then on the other side, which is currently, it's current right now, is all of the scientific advancements and engineering.
Yes.
You know, East Cowes as an engineering hub right now, it's only small, but this engineering hub has produced flying boats and steam cars and racing cars and hovercrafts and the flying boats, you know, it's just, and rockets that went into space.
I know, it's amazing. But we are going to have some very special visitors in July to come here to mark the centenary of the assassination of the Romanovs, and they are, it's the St. Elizabeth Convent in Minsk, in Belarus, and they are sending a number of nuns over who are very, very well known for their beautiful singing. And I thought it might be a good opportunity to actually listen to one of their Easter hymns at the moment. This is a Paschal Apolitikion, which is often used in the Easter service, and it explains what is going to happen in the service. I'm afraid it's in Greek, so I think you've just got to enjoy the music, but you'll see the extraordinary music that we're going to enjoy in July. Well, that is the celebrated choir from the St. Elizabeth Convent in Minsk, and we're going to be very, very lucky because they're coming to the Isle of Wight at the beginning of July. We'll give you the dates a little bit later, and there's going to be a concert where they'll be singing, and also a church service in St. Mildred's Church at Whippingham, because for them this isn't a trip to the Isle of Wight, it's a pilgrimage.
That's absolutely right. And again, this is one of those stories that has kind of just been discovered. It's a well-known story, apparently, in the Baltic states.
Yes.
But it's not a story which particularly many people, I think, on the Isle of Wight know.
No, well, I think I better sort of try and tell that because this involves a sort of huge history lesson, which thank you very much. Which I only really.
I'm so pleased that you're doing it because David knows all of this, and I'm just one of the cogs that's trying to make it happen.
A very effective cog.
Okay, well let's start off obviously in the obvious place, which is Queen Victoria.
Yeah.
So Queen Victoria, if you've been to Osborne House and you go to the nursery on the first floor, second floor, you will see in the nursery there are these huge diagrams of how effectively Queen Victoria's children became or got onto the throne of just about every single country in Europe. I mean, there was a lot of marrying of cousins and things like that. But I just want to concentrate on one of Queen Victoria's daughters, who was Princess Alice. Now, Princess Alice, unfortunately, died before Queen Victoria. She had rather a sad life because she and many of her children contracted diphtheria and actually died in the 1880s. Obviously, Queen Victoria, who had lost Prince Albert, found that very distressing. Princess Alice married Prince Louis of Hesse, who was one of the minor German royals, and they had a number of children, as I said, some of whom died of diphtheria, but some of whom didn't. Now, the ones who didn't, let's start off with the one with the greatest Isle of Wight connection, and that was Victoria Mountbatten. And she is actually buried in St Mildred's Church in Whippingham.
That's correct.
And she is the mother of Earl Mountbatten. Earl Mountbatten, of course, of Earl Mountbatten Hospice.
Yep.
And she is the grandmother of Prince Philip. So if we think about it like this, Queen Victoria's granddaughter, Victoria Mountbatten, she is buried in the church at Whippingham, St Mildred's. Now, she had two very, very interesting sisters, one of whom, Alex or Alexandra, subsequently became the Tsarina. She was the last Tsarina in Russia. She married Tsar Nicholas II.
That's correct.
And just before she married him, she came over to England with him, and they had a very jolly time at Windsor Castle and at Osborne House. The next time they were to visit Osborne House was in 1909. Again, it was before the Russian Revolution started, but after Queen Victoria had died. And when she came over to Osborne House in 1909, it was as part of the cows' annual yacht races. They moored off in a boat. Prince of Wales, during Queen Victoria's life, subsequently became King Edward VII, and he entertained them at Barton Manor.
That's absolutely spot on. I think they inspected the fleet as well, didn't they, while they were here? It was part of a royal...
Flotilla?
It was part of you know, the inspection of the fleet and their royal tour of the UK.
So yes, because they were in the Russian royal yacht, weren't they?
They were. And security precautions were elaborate because the Bolsheviks had been stirring up trouble in Russia and then to be the Soviet Union. Communism had not been yet introduced. The revolution was to take place about 8 years later. There was a very happy atmosphere, I understand, on those few days in August when they were visiting in 1909, because it was effectively relatives, cousins, all getting together, lots of the children playing with each other. And that's something that's going to be remembered. I was talking about Queen Victoria's daughter, Princess Alice. So we've put two names in there, her children, Victoria Mountbatten, buried at St Mildred's, Tsarina Alexandra, married to the last Tsar of Russia. There is another child as well, who is now a saint in the Orthodox Church, and that's Grand Duchess Elizabeth Romanov. And there is a Grand Duchess Elizabeth Romanov Society here in the UK, and I understand they're very influential in helping out with these events in East Cowes, Carl. She was... an extraordinary lady, because she had what looked like a gilded life, being married to the Archduke of Russia. But unfortunately, because I was saying, you know, the Bolshevik movement was gathering apace in Russia, he actually got assassinated in 1905. And what happened was she got rid of all of her jewellery, she got rid of all of her dresses, and effectively retired from royal life and became a nun, and spent her life working amongst the poor in Moscow.
That's absolutely correct. That's where that's the story which we started to discover. When what we thought we were going to be doing in these cows was remembering, if you like, the sad deaths, the execution and the murder of the royal family, and then the whole story started to unfold, and we were thinking, this is incredible.
No, well, I mean, they were all very, very regular visitors to Osborne House. I mean, those three daughters particularly, because Queen Victoria was very sorry for them and used to see them regularly because, of course, Queen Victoria's daughter, Alice, died very young from diphtheria.
So, and they'd lost their siblings, hadn't they?
Exactly,
they
lost their siblings.
They were the three surviving children of Princess Alice. And, you know, I hadn't realised that the Grand Duke of Russia, the husband of Elizabeth, was assassinated in 1905. So that was 13 years before the assassination of the Russian royal family.
Exactly.
And the wake-up call, I would have thought.
The story gets even sadder, actually, Judith, because the Russian royal family, the Tsarina and the Tsar, were obviously shot by a firing squad. But what happened to... unfortunately, Princess Elizabeth, Grand Duchess Elizabeth Romanov, is even worse because she and some members of her family were taken to a mineshaft. They were beaten up, thrown down this mineshaft, which I think was 60 feet deep, and it was thought that that would kill them, but it didn't. There were grenades thrown after them, but the grenades didn't kill them because they could hear them chanting Orthodox hymns at the bottom of this mineshaft. More grenades were thrown down the mineshaft, and after that some brushwood was thrown down and set alight, thinking that it would finally kill them. When their bodies were actually found, it did seem that none of them, apart from one, had died of those immediate injuries, both from the grenades and from being thrown down the mineshaft, but had actually died of starvation or over time of their injuries. And it was found that Grand Duchess Elizabeth had tended for some of the people who had been thrown down there with her nun's wimple. So she'd wrapped it round, I think, the head of one of the people who had been thrown down there with her. And I believe, Carl, that wimple is going to be brought to the island.
It is, yes. I mean, as you say, it's an incredible story. We only started to discover some of these facts from November last year. So, so as you've already said, the Grand Duchess Elizabeth, she was the favourite great-granddaughter of Queen Victoria.
Yes.
Because of her good deeds, and it's the good deeds that are important here, because once she'd sold all of her possessions and given up this life of royalty, she opened a hospital during the First World War, and started to treat and care for all of these wounded soldiers who were allies of our country at that time. And then from there she went on to open her own convent, and of course it's the convent sisters today who are still doing similar work that are coming. So and so this is why she was canonised in 1981.
And all of that extraordinary story is taught actually in a number of boards at the church at Whippingham at St Mildred's, because Judith and I went there about 6 months ago, haven't been for a very, very long time. And you think to yourself, my goodness, you know, it's the Isle of Wight and we've got these incredible stories to tell, and these incredible relations.
And the stories have been, if you like, for many people, not really told. And that's the story that we're trying to tell about East Cowes, Whippingham and our island and its significance across the world. You know, there's not many towns that can boast having a saint walk down its streets and attend on a regular basis. Kent House was another really significant property in East Cowes. Kent House is hidden away behind the trees. Nobody really notices. It's one of those places you pass by. But to particularly to the Russian Orthodox Church, that is really significant to them. Yeah. And hence why we think that there's a significant tourism trail, which could be developed.
I think there should be. We've got a Churchill Trail here on the Isle of Wight. We've got a Queen Victoria Trail.
Yeah, we have a Literary Heroes Trail.
Yeah, so I think a Romanov Trail is the next step.
But be a great addition.
I need to get some advertisements in, but then can we talk about what exactly is going to be going on in July, Carl?
The Visit Isle of Wight Show with James and Judith. Thinking of a trip to the island? Check out visitisleofwight.co.uk today.
Ace of Base. Coming to you from Sweden. But you don't want to go there. You want to come to the Isle of Wight. Judith and I are here with Carl Love. And we're talking about all things Romanov. That was one of the most difficult history lessons I have ever had in my life. But
you did a fantastic job.
Oh, thank you. Well, thank you, Wikipedia. I mean, I wish we'd had Wikipedia when we were at school. But anyway, we're talking about a centenary to mark the tragic events in the Russian Revolution when the Romanovs were killed. It's not exactly a celebration. We have said that for the nuns who are coming from Minsk, it's more of a pilgrimage. But it is a way of marking an extraordinary event in world history that, had a big connection with the Isle of Wight. So, Carl, how are we going to commemorate these events? Because there's a special weekend that's set aside. It's the 6th, 7th and 8th of July. And this is the weekend when there's going to be the Round the Island yacht race. Which is a significant event for the Isle of Wight. But when people come over for that, there's plenty that they'll be able to do to find out more about the Romanovs and the island.
That's absolutely true. I mean, what started off as was going to be a small local event has mushroomed into something fairly major, which we think will actually attract the media from all over the world,
yes,
because of its significance. David started this by saying, "Hey, I've discovered this fact that this is happening, we should really mark this occasion because it's 100 years,
yeah,
and let's have a little monument in the town or something,
yeah,
and maybe a church service."
But it's not going to be a little monument, is it?
It certainly isn't.
There's a huge Celtic cross, I think, that's going to be marking. That's
absolutely correct. This is being given to the people of East Cowes by the Grand Duchess the Grand Duchess Elizabeth Romanov Society, which is a British group,
yes,
based in the UK as a charity, and they wanted to mark this occasion because they're dedicated to all things imperial family,
yeah,
mm-hmm. And of course, there's a certain amount of religion behind that group as well,
yes,
and they wanted to mark the occasion that the fact is, to them, East Cowes and the Orthodox Church is special.
Yes.
It's special because Saint Elizabeth,
yes,
came here,
yeah,
and obviously the royal family visited, who were all in their eyes martyred.
Yes. And Saint Elizabeth's sister is buried here.
That's it. So they wanted to mark that,
yeah,
and they were thinking at the same time, well, maybe we ought to do something, and David happened to encapsulate it, if you like.
Yeah.
So what is actually going to be happening is, from this idea of having a church service and a plaque on a wall,
yeah,
the Romanov Society has said, we want to give the people of East Cowes this monument to tell the story of the Tsar and the family,
yeah,
and their visits, and also and we want to give this to you, and to remember those happy times and the positive relationships between the people.
Yeah.
And so on the 6th of... do you want me to tell the story?
The 6th of July, which is going to be a Friday. There's going to be a concert, isn't there?
Well, so as we said, the sisters from Belarus are visiting.
Yeah.
At first, we thought they were talking about, a choir coming from London, and because we got slightly confused about... Because there are some language issues sometimes when people speak different languages and so on,
yeah,
even though these people are all British-based. And it turned out that actually the sisters from Belarus, which is an independent independent state in the Baltics,
yeah,
are coming over, and they're going to give us a concert on the Friday night.
Fabulous.
And they are going to be bringing with them a market.
Marvellous.
A market?
A huge market. A market,
but a market, yeah, stalls.
Wow.
Well, they need to actually do some financing. Aww. And that's when I start to sweat beads, when we start to think about money.
Yeah.
And so they're coming and doing a concert on the Friday night. Also on the Friday night, we're, thanks to the great support of Barton Manor, we're going to be having an exhibition of artifacts and pictures,
yeah,
which are being sent to the UK from all over the world. There's a, wow, man coming from Canada bringing some original pieces, and of course the sisters are bringing some pieces with them from Belarus.
Yes. Any chance of some little Fabergé objet, do you think?
Well, there was some discussion about, we know there are some eggs, but we, yeah, don't know that they're Fabergé. but they're bringing with them, you know, we know that, subject to agreement, because,
yes,
we've got to look at insurance and various other things.
Oh, absolutely. You
know, Tsar Nicholas II's uniform is being brought,
wow,
as well.
Wow.
And some other artefacts and things. And at the moment, we're still putting together that exhibition.
Yeah.
Luckily for me, that exhibition is being put together by the Romanov Society,
yes,
who have done this before. And Don Haig Thomas, from Barton Manor, agreed for the exhibition to take place, which will start on the Saturday and go through till the Sunday.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of effort. It's, yeah, a one-off event, with all of these rare artefacts. So that starts on the Friday night. Sorry, that will start on the Saturday, but there'll be some kind of if you like, pre... exposure to the,
yeah,
the artifacts, so I can't quite find my
so
words.
Like sort
that.
Of a special opening.
Yes, a special, yeah, opening on the Friday. So there'll be two things. And then on the Saturday, this monument, which we thought was going to be, you know, 6 inches by 6 inches, is actually 3 metres high, and funded by them, made out of granite.
Yeah,
and
wow,
the centrepiece for that is being currently cast by a famous Russian artist in Moscow.
Well, I've seen a picture of it, and it looks absolutely
it's
magnificent.
Incredible. I'm sorry, I've lost her name at the moment, but it's made out of bronze, and that's going to be the centrepiece, and that's currently being worked on and cast,
wow,
in. And of course, this is a gift. These are gifts to,
yeah, that's
paid
fabulous.
For by this society.
Yeah.
And so in Jubilee Recreation Ground, about halfway up York Avenue, this monument is going to be placed, and again creating this new focal point for pilgrims and for tourism,
yes,
bringing people from the Baltic states, hopefully as things improve and our relationships have been gradually building, although things are a little frosty at the moment,
yeah, exactly,
but they have been building, we'll bring in a whole new if you like group of people to come and view,
yeah,
their history,
yes,
as well as our history,
yes,
in East Cowes.
And on the Sunday, I was just going to say, the you know, this is a sort of very religious weekend as well for the people who are coming over. And I said, for the nuns, it's a pilgrimage. There's going to be a service of dedication, I think, isn't there, in
there
St.
is.
Mildred's?
That's looking like St. Mildred's. We've still got a little bit more confirming to do, but we've also got St. James's Church, again, equally as important, which was built by Sir John Nash,
yep,
yes,
you know, who built Trafalgar Square,
yes,
and parts of Buckingham Palace and all sorts of things,
mm,
in East Cowes. He's buried in East Cowes. So we're trying to create and really celebrate our local history,
yeah,
which can boost our local economy, if not now, certainly in the future. And this is a perfect opportunity. And we'd never dreamed in our wildest dreams that this would be,
yeah,
what. But I mean, it's going to be a monument, and it's going to have flagpoles, and hopefully it's going to be lit on a night.
Wow.
Creating a whole different atmosphere,
yeah,
and feel,
yeah,
for the town.
That's
what we're setting out to do. It's not, you know, and some people have said, well, you know, how will that help the town? Well, it'll help our world profile, and it will bring more visitors, and hopefully it'll make a connection between Osborne House and Barton Manor and bring people down into the town and bring more interest. That's what we're trying,
well,
to
do. Well, yes, it sounds incredibly exciting.
And as you say, Carlo, it will attract people from different parts of the world, people who perhaps until now would never have heard of the Isle of Wight.
No, that's absolutely right.
And this weekend that you're having, it sounds unique, not just in Isle of Wight terms, not just in national UK terms, but in worldwide terms. Yeah. I mean, it sounds fantastic.
I think that that's the opportunity here, is that in actual fact, it's giving our island a profile, particularly amongst the Baltic states.
Yes. Yes.
We are, you know, we can't yet talk about who might or might not be visiting, but we think it will be a significant event.
No.
And Dawn has been working with her connections to try to make that happen. Of course, this is all subject to planning permission.
Absolutely.
Well, fingers crossed, Carl.
Well, I
which
think
we're working on.
Don't let's worry about the details.
No, it's going to happen. We are going to make this happen because it is good for, it's a good story for our island. It's good for tourism. It's good for the people. And it's also good for local people to learn about their history and education.
And for local pride as well, don't you think, Carl?
I have appropriately now a track called Cake by the Ocean. And when we come back, we'll tell you about how to find out more. Chicory Tip, and that was Son of My Father. Now, we've had so much to talk about the Romanovs, that we're running out of time. So, Carl, let's just remind people of the dates. It's going to be 6th, 7th and 8th of July when the celebrations are being held.
That's exactly the target date for all of this exciting stuff to happen.
That is the same time as the Round the Island Yacht Race. And I suggest we don't have a website or a Facebook page available yet, because plans are still being put together for this incredible weekend. The best thing to do is to just keep looking at the visitisleofwight.co.uk website, because everything's going to go up there.
I think that's exactly the right thing.
Fabulous. Well, we all look forward to it. Thank you very much for coming in. Send our best to David. And well, is there still room at Bosun's Lodge that weekend if people want to come and stay there?
There might possibly be just at the moment.
Fabulous.
We're having a slow year so far.
Well, you might have a choir staying with you.
Absolutely.
It's okay, bad enough David singing, never mind a choir.
We'll be back in a fortnight.